Welcome to Ask Prof Brewer. I'm David Brewer, and I'm a pastor and teacher at Emmaus Bible Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's session, we continue our series on Resurrection Day, and this is part three. So let's talk about what happened on Sunday. So obviously, that's a Resurrection Day. The disciples go to the tomb on Sunday morning. So let's continue on with the biblical text. While it was still dark, very early on the first day of the week at sunrise, they, which is Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went to look at the tomb, taking the aromatic spices they had prepared. So the first day of the week was Sunday. And interestingly, all four gospel writers referred to the day of Jesus' resurrection this way rather than as the third day after his death. The latter description would have directly connected the resurrection with Jesus' predictions. Perhaps they did this to associate the resurrection day more clearly with the new beginning. John may have mentioned the darkness of the night, that's in John 20, verse 1, to associate darkness with Mary's limited perception and understanding then. So that's possible. Mary Magdalene evidently came at first with the other women. Another possibility is that she came first and the other women followed shortly, but this seems less likely because of the other evangelist descriptions. John wrote what she saw, the open tomb of Jesus, but he did not record that she entered it. Perhaps John mentioned Mary Magdalene and none of the other women because of her testimony after seeing Jesus. Hard to know. Let's continue on to biblical text. And they had been asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? So Mark dated the time of the women's visit precisely. Apparently, the women left their homes before dawn and arrived at the tomb just after sunrise. That's Matthew 28:1. Luke 24:1 and John 20, verse 1. Their concern was removing the heavy stone that blocked their entrance. So they knew nothing about the tomb ceiling and the guards posting there. We'll continue on the biblical text. Suddenly there was a severe earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. So a second earthquake occurred. So the relationship between the earthquake and the angel's descent and the stone rolling away is indefinite in the text. So all these events have supernatural connotations. An angel had announced the incarnation, and now an angel announced the resurrection. So the angel rolled the stone away to admit the witnesses, not to allow Jesus to escape. The guards experienced the earthquake and observed the angel, who appeared as a young man, Mark 16:5. The angel's appearance was also like lightning, and that was what terrified the guards so greatly. The seeing the angel made them look like dead men, and perhaps they fainted and appeared in a deep sleep or a coma, I bet. Wouldn't you be terrified if you were in that situation? I certainly would be. Let's keep going in the biblical text. And the guards were shaken and became like dead men because they were so afraid of him. We talked about that. The women came to the tomb and looking up saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled back away from the entrance to the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Mary Magdalene went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, they have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. So Luke focused more on the absence of Jesus' body than the moving of the stone that sealed the tomb. So all four evangelists mention the removal of the stone, probably because of its apologetic value. It was not just the spirit of Jesus that had departed, but his body had also departed. So Luke contrasted what the women found, the stone rolled away, with what they did not see, the body. So the title, the Lord Jesus, is new in Luke and indicates the latest status of the risen Christ. And the early Christians used this title often. in Acts, a number of places. Let's continue on in the biblical text. Meanwhile, the women remaining in the tomb were perplexed about this. Suddenly, two men stood beside them in dazzling attire, one a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. So only Luke mentioned that there were two angels. God probably sent two to convince the women that Jesus had arisen. They appeared to be men, but they were angels, as their gleaming clothing undoubtedly indicated to the women. It could be translated as flashing like lightning. Tenney translated it that way. So Mark apparently included this story to impress the reader with the naturalness, this is Mark 16:5, with the naturalness of this incident, whereas the other gospel writers stress its supernatural element. They identified the young man as an angel, but Mark called him a young man. And they also mentioned that two angels were present, but Mark mentions only one, probably because only one was the person speaking. Okay, let's continue on in biblical text. The women were terribly frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified." So the angel calmed the women's fears, which were caused by the shock of observing the scene, by speaking to them. Of all the possible reasons for the tomb being open and empty that the women could have imagined, the angel clarified the one true explanation, that Jesus had risen from the grave. And the angel reminded them that Jesus had predicted his resurrection. He then invited them to come and see where he had lain and tell the other disciples that he had risen from the dead. They should go quickly because this was the most significant news ever. And Jesus would confirm his resurrection with the personal appearance in Galilee shortly. And he would arrive in Galilee before they did, and he would meet his disciples there. Okay, let's continue on in biblical text. But why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again? Then the women remembered Jesus' words. So a few comments. The angel's words stressed the fact that Jesus was alive. It was inappropriate to look for a living person in a tomb. Look at Acts 2:24. The angels then bluntly declared that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they reminded the women, and they reminded the women of Jesus' prophecy that he would rise after 3 days. So that's a number of scriptures that talk about that. So Luke had written that the meaning of Jesus' prediction was incomprehensible to the disciples when he gave it. But of course, later on, they understood. And there's other gospel writers that talk about that as well. However, God's messengers clarified it. Okay, so a few other comments about what we just read. The women now remembered the predictions they had heard but had not understood. So the resurrection had begun to clarify many things that Jesus had previously taught his disciples. The women then returned to the 11 and the other disciples with their news. The angels had been witnesses of the resurrection to the women, and now the women were witnesses to all the rest of the disciples. In turn, they would witness it to the ends of the earth, Acts 1:8. Luke probably wanted his readers to note this beginning of the Christian mission here. Now, some of the comments I'm making are from Tom Consible's notes, which you can see online. Let's continue on the biblical text. Then Peter and the other disciple, which is John, set out to go to the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and saw the strips of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. So, and then Simon Peter, who had been following him, arrived, bent down, and went right into the tomb, and he saw only the strips of linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth which had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the strips of linen cloth, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the details of the other disciple, John, outrunning Peter to the tomb were probably mentioned to confirm that this was an eyewitness report. It also shows that these disciples had not removed Jesus' body. There is no basis in the text for allegorizing these two men and making them stand for the Gentile church and the Jewish church, which is just dumb. John saw the linen wrappings that had been formerly covering Jesus' body lying in the tomb. And if grave robbers had removed the body, they would have undoubtedly taken the expensive cloth with which Joseph and Nicodemus had prepared it for burial. So John may have initially assumed that Jesus' body was still there, especially if the light was terrible at that early hour. And perhaps John did not enter the tomb because he did not want to violate its sanctity or incur ritual defilement. It's kind of hard to know. So when Peter arrived at the tomb moments later, he entered probably because he wanted to know exactly how things stood, regardless of the consequences. So he looked, he beheld intently not only the linen burial clothes, but also the face cloth that had covered Jesus' head. So evidently, John could not see this from his vantage point outside the tomb. The distance of the face cloth from the other wrappings and the care with which someone had positioned it was unusual. Jesus was not there, but someone had been there. So just an amazing account. And let's keep on going in the biblical text. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first came in, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. So John was encouraged by Peter's boldness. He walked in the tomb. He saw this evidence of Jesus' disappearance and believed what it implied. So he thought that Jesus was alive. So in this chapter, John carefully recorded that the disciples who saw the resurrected Jesus believed in him. The writer didn't explain what John believed here, but in the context of this chapter, it seems clear that he thought that Jesus was alive. And the evidence of Jesus' resurrection convinced John even before he met the risen Jesus. Now, the writer did not say that Peter also believed, but this omission does not necessarily mean that Peter did not believe, but didn't choose to mention that. So the writer confessed his belief, not contrasting it with Peter's reaction. Nevertheless, John seems to have understood the significance of the empty tomb and the orderly grave clothes better than Peter did. So neither confessed or believed to others at that time. So Jesus had passed through the grave clothes and the rocky tomb, and the angel had opened the tomb to admit the disciples, not to release Jesus. John's faith rested on the evidence that he had seen. So later, he and the other disciples have additional reasons for believing that Jesus had risen, mainly the prophetic scriptures that the resurrection fulfilled. And John's faith took a step forward here, but it was not yet as strong as it would be later on. So we'll continue this series next time. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Ask Prof. Brewer. If you have any questions, feel free to write me at brewerhebrewprof@gmail.com, or you can text me or call me at 848-226-4306. Thank you so much. Shalom. Love you all.